Thank you. Morning, everyone. It's great to see you, or not exactly see you, but imagine I'm seeing you. It's been brilliant, hasn't it, that we've actually been able to still go to church. I've even been coming to church with my dog, which has been a new experience. Yeah, it's been absolutely brilliant to still feel sort of connected as a family. So I want to say a big thank you to the leadership team and everyone else that's made it happen, and not just the church services, the worship, but everything that's happened in between throughout the week, how the church has been doing what church does, and we really appreciate all the love and hard work that's gone into that. We're looking today at the second sign in John's Gospel, the healing that we've just heard. And this passage introduces us to this man who is absolutely desperate, isn't he? And he comes and seeks Jesus out. And the passage ends with the man and his whole family coming to faith and believing in Jesus. So it kind of gives us a picture of a journey of faith. It lets us in to this man's journey of faith. And that's what I wanted to sort of look at together this morning, this journey of faith, and see what it might have to say to us about our own journeys of faith, our own journey of faith and belief. The first thing that strikes me is that the journey of faith starts with God. We might think that the journey of faith for this man started when he came face to face with Jesus, or when Jesus said something and the man chose to believe. Or we might think it came at the end of the passage when he and his whole family believed. But I actually think it started in what we're told about in verse 47, when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea. He went to him and begged him to come and heal his son. The man heard, and I wonder how that hearing happened. What did he hear about Jesus? Who told him about Jesus? And I wonder about that kind of gut feeling, how he responded to that, of knowing or having a nudge and thinking, I need to go and search this Jesus out. I'm in a desperate situation, but there's something about this man that he may be the only one who can help. There's a word in theology, a theological term, which doesn't come up much in conversation, but it's prevenient grace. And it's the idea that we don't seek God out. He first seeks us out. God is the creator, the lover, the sustainer, the person who comes seeking after us because he wants relationship with us. God makes the first move in this relationship. And I wonder how that happened for this man, how he felt that nudge, that conviction that he needed to go and seek out Jesus. And he did, he followed that nudge, he followed that conviction. I wonder if some of us have experienced that either a long time ago or more recently. That sense that there's something to this, there's something more, and I just need to go and find out for myself. And the second thing that struck me about this journey of belief and believing is that it's really, really hard. Really hard. The incredibly difficult thing that Jesus asks of this man. To have Jesus come and heal in person is one thing, isn't it? To see him come, do whatever he does, you know, and the healing happen. That's maybe the man's expectation of Jesus. We talked about expectations in the previous sermon series, didn't we? Or thought about them. So that the man might have had the expectation that Jesus would come and heal in person. But what Jesus asks of this man is so much more difficult, isn't it? Jesus simply says, go, your son will live. That's asking the man to believe that Jesus can say the word in one place, and the man's son can be healed in another. That's asking the man to believe that this man, Jesus, who he's just met, has the power to heal regardless of distance. That his words, his simple word, has that power. It's trying to tell us something, isn't it? It's giving us a sign. It's giving the man and us a sign about who Jesus must be if he just says a word and something is created, something is healed. And the man took Jesus at his word and departed in a heartbeat. It's just the second part of the same verse. "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Wow, amazing. I've been reading this book a while ago, Barbara Brown Taylor, who's really beautiful writer, very poetic, writing about the things of faith. And this book is called The Luminous Web, and it's about faith, science, and the experience of wonder. And I'd really recommend it if you're into science at all. I don't have a clue what she means half the time, because she does go into scientific stuff, but I find it really fascinating. And one of the things she talks about is quantum physics, which, if any of you have found out anything about quantum physics, it's this idea that I won't try and describe it, but basically you should go and check it out, because again, it's people, scientists, brilliant minds, figuring out that something that happens one side of the planet can affect something that happens the other side of the planet. So atoms can affect each other even though they're distance apart, because they're connected. And she draws out of this how the whole world is somehow mysteriously connected. And there's things we don't understand yet, aren't there, that scientists are still discovering. Maybe to believe that the Son of God can say a word and it affects change, it enacts something many miles away. Maybe that's echoed in these words about quantum theory. Anyway, if you're interested, have a read. So the man took Jesus at his word. He didn't meet the servants, until the next day. We don't know what time, but we're told later that Jesus had pronounced the healing at 1 p.m. the day before. And I just think about this difficulty of believing that he had to go that time, heading back to home, wondering, I guess, if he was right to take Jesus at his word. He hadn't seen any evidence yet. So did he have his whole long journey not really knowing? Was he hurrying back excitedly, or was he in trepidation, wondering what he would find when he got home? Or was he veering from one to the other, as is humanly, as we probably have all experienced in our journey of faith? Theologians also talk about us being in the now and not yet, don't they? This like in-between time, where things aren't as God intended, but we have experienced God and we can be part of his kingdom and part of his family. It's the now, but it's the not yet. And I think this is quite a vivid picture of this man caught between the now and not yet. He's heard from God, he's had that word from Jesus, but he hasn't yet experienced what Jesus has done for him. The now and not yet. I was listening to a preacher many years ago. I think it was when I was at uni, and there were various speakers that would come in, and some of them were, you know, I still remember things that they said. Now, at the time, I don't think this really struck me, but I've remembered it, and every so often it comes back to me, about how Christian waiting can take on a different feel. So there's times of waiting, isn't there? We've talked a lot about that as well recently, about being in a waiting time. And this speaker was saying that being a Christian and having Christian hope can transform our waiting. And he used a pun of like a waiter waiting on tables and said, as Christians, our waiting is not to be sort of purposeless, but we're serving God in our waiting. And I wonder if you're experiencing a period of waiting as well, waiting on Jesus, waiting, caught in the now and the not yet. I mean, we all are. We look around the world. It is not as God intended. It's not yet. One day it will be, but at the moment it's not yet. And I wonder how your waiting is, and I wonder how my waiting is. I wonder if it's full of dread and fear or doubt, or if God's word to us has transformed our waiting and helped us to wait safe in the knowledge of his love. God, will you take our waiting and transform it by your power? Then we get to confirmation, the next part in this man's journey of faith. He received confirmation. What a wonderful moment that must have been. And as he finds out that his son has been healed, he asks the servants that come to tell him the news. And they figure out between them that the son was healed at the exact time. In verse 53, it says, the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. They were all amazed, weren't they? Like, they must have been amazed. This was the exact time at which Jesus spoke the word. It leaves them in no doubt that it was Jesus that caused this to happen by the power of his word from a distance over space. It's giving us a clear sign of who Jesus is. And sometimes we have things, thank God, we have things happen to us that bring that sense of confirmation, don't we? Something can happen and we think, that can't be coincidence, that has to be God. Maybe a friend says just the words that we need to hear at that moment. Or maybe we read in our Bible notes something and think, that's amazing, that's as though God is actually speaking to me, it's as though those words were written just for me. Or maybe over time, as we're listening, as we're praying, as we're, you know, listening to, coming to worship together, as we're listening to worship music, we feel, we sense that God is speaking to us. Or maybe we have confirmation in another way, or maybe something happens in our lives that we think, that can't be anything but God, that has to be God, that has the hallmarks of God all over it. Maybe something within us changes, maybe we think, you know, how can I face this? And we experience God's touch and inner transformation, and he gives us a peace that we can't understand. Or maybe he changes our outer circumstances. Maybe there's something that we've prayed about and God has changed that, or that's changed, and we just know in ourselves that that was God enacting, being active in our lives. Or maybe we read some Bible notes and they just really speak to us. However it is, when that confirmation comes, it's so wonderful and so reassuring, isn't it? When we see the fingerprints of God in our lives and in the lives of others. And if we're wise, I think we hold on to those things, don't we? The signs that God puts in our own lives that are not so much always about what he does, but it's about what it tells us about him. The fact that he would care enough to do that in our lives. The fact that he loves us so much. The fact that he knows us so well. That confirmation, we need to hold on to that, don't we? The signs and wonders that God does in our own lives, as well as holding on to the signs and wonders that we read about in the Word of God. We read in the Gospels about how how Mary treasured up all these things in her heart, all the signs and wonders that happened in her life. she treasured them up in her heart. And yeah, I that speaks to me about how I need to treasure and hold on to those things when God has spoken to me and when God has been involved in my life. So the man believes, he comes to faith, him and his whole family. The last thing I want to say about it is that might seem like quite a linear thing, but faith isn't always, is it? We veer between feeling confirmed to doubting everything that we've ever thought we believed. We veer between thinking God is wonderful and how God is doing such amazing things in his world to looking around at the not yet and thinking, how can I believe this? How can I believe in this loving God? Faith is not a straight journey, but hopefully that's an encouragement to us as well, that wherever we are in the journey, whichever direction we're facing, however we're feeling, God is with us. I want to go back to that word, prevenient grace. Maybe it's easier to remember as God makes the first move. That image of God the Father running out to greet the prodigal son. God makes the first move. God is the extravagant, loving Father, creator God, who comes looking for you and who comes looking for me. Let's pray. God, we thank you that even though sometimes what you ask of us feels so hard, sometimes believing and faith feel beyond us. We thank you that you are the first one to make a move, that you have done everything necessary, that you draw near to us as we draw near to you. We thank you, God, that you do act in our lives. And we know that even though we're living in the now and not yet, we thank you that we can be part of building your kingdom here on earth. We thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for his power. And we thank you for his compassion. And we thank you for his action in our own lives, as well as the signs and wonders that we read about. Help us as we go on this journey of faith, Lord, wherever we are at in it, help us to find you at every turn, because we know that you're there by the power of your Holy Spirit, seeking us out, drawing us closer, and wanting us to experience love and life with you. We praise you, Jesus, and we pray for each other that today those who need it will hear your word. Those who need it will be given the strength to take you at your word. Those who need it will be sustained in their in-between times of now and not yet. God, we thank you that you are able to do all that we ask and so much more than all we ask or imagine. We thank you that you are the great creator God, but you're also our closest friend and saviour. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Back to you, Toby.